AFR app is a powerful tool, but it does have limitations. You can't use it to change the oil in your vehicle or get rid of carpet stains. It won't walk the dog, won't pick up the dry cleaning, or take the kids to practice. But while you're doing those things, you can listen to your favorite AFR content through the app on your phone, smart device, or Roku. Just go to your app store or visit AFR.net. Listen to AFR wherever you go with the AFR app.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff here. It is Groundhog Day. I woke up this morning, I didn't really think about that, and I did a little bit of research on what was going on in America, and it mentioned, hey, today is Groundhog Day, and bad news for us, because Punxsutawney Phil did see his shadow, and so there's going to be 6 more weeks of winter. You know, in the famous movie Groundhog Day with Bill Murray, we don't know how long he was in that Groundhog Day, over just playing that day over and over and over again. But he got really good at the piano, so he had to be doing that for a long time. Classic movie, very funny. And anyway, so it is Groundhog Day today. Hope you're having a good morning. Seems like the country is starting to thaw out from the freeze. I know in Texarkana we still have a lot of ice and around houses and things, places that don't get a lot of sun, but it's supposed to get into the 60s today. We still have a lot of ice around the church. We cleared off the parking lot, but there were some areas we had to rope off because of ice, and it's slippery, so be careful out there. But we are looking forward to a warmer week. Well, lots going on today, and want to talk about a handful of different things. One of the big things, we've talked about this a lot on Real Truth for Today, is the situation with ICE. We have people that are very polarized on this topic. The ICE agents are arresting people, and people have gotten shot and killed as a result of their interactions with ICE agents. Protests all over the U.S. and Minnesota. I think it was Minnesota that I saw. Just it looked like thousands and thousands of people out there protesting, people having signs. They had a walkout on Friday, and you had little kids in school that were carrying signs and protesting. Surely they don't know anything about the issues, but they're just told by their teachers and by their school that this is a good thing. I have to tell you, it reminded me of what happened in Nazi Germany with Hitler, the Hitler Youth, and we're trying to indoctrinate the kids from a young age to get them to think negatively about law enforcement and negatively about the conservatives and negatively about anybody that would be on the right, because they're terrible people. As Hillary Clinton said, you know, they're just a basket of deplorables. And so that would include really everybody at American Family Association, everybody on American Family Radio, and most of the people that listen to American Family Radio. We're very grateful and thankful for you listening. But, you know, there was a lot of brouhaha over Hillary Clinton's article in The Atlantic. It's called MAGA's War on Empathy. The crisis in Minneapolis reveals a deep moral rot at the heart of Trump's movement. Now, I think we'd all agree that she's probably not the spokesperson to call out moral rot. Her husband's presidency was marred by sexual assault, and he got disbarred. It depends on what the definition of the word is, as he famously said when he was being grilled over his sexual immorality, especially in the Oval Office, or right off the Oval Office, the room that Trump now has for all his MAGA paraphernalia, I've been told. But this is what she said in this article. I believe Christians like me and people of faith more generally have a responsibility to stand up to the extremists who use religion to divide our society and undermine our democracy. So that's what she thinks. She was on Joe Scarborough some time ago talking about white Christian people who want to make the country follow the dictates of the Bible and have, you know, the go back to the Judeo-Christian underpinnings of America. And she calls that going backward. This is what she had to say on Joe Scarborough. I didn't get a date, but it's probably in the last couple of years.
And I am proud of the fact that we have always been a work in progress. You know, we haven't gotten to the more perfect union, and we fought a civil war over part of it. Mm-hmm. And people have been protesting, you know, for hundreds of years that, you know, things were not as they should be, given our ideals and how we should be moving toward them. So I think that's what makes us so special as a country. And the idea that you could turn the clock back and try to recreate a world that never was, dominated by, you know, let's say it, white men of a certain persuasion, a certain religion, a certain point of view, a certain ideology, is just doing such damage to what we should be aiming for. And we were on the path toward that. I mean, imperfectly, lots of, you know, bumps along the way. But I agree with you, we were on the right trajectory.
So that's she has a very negative view of white Christians, especially white Christian males, people that believe the Bible. We were called at one time a basket of deplorables, and now she is telling us, if you're a Christian like me. You know, that really resonated in my mind and in my heart, a Christian like me. You think to yourself, what exactly does that mean? When Don Lemon was with those protesters that stormed into the church in Minneapolis, and he had the microphone in the pastor's face, and the pastor said, there's no place for this. This is a house of worship. We're worshiping the Lord. And Don Lemon said, well, I'm a Christian. And, you know, I had commented on that, what does it mean to be a Christian? We've lost that that word and the meaning of that word. To be a Christian means to be a Christ follower. It just because you say you're a Christian doesn't make you a Christian. Just because you go to church, that doesn't make you a Christian. And Jesus said, you will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, are they, nor figs from thistles. You know, at the judgment of Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. For many will say to me on that day, on judgment day, Lord, Lord, did we not preach in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? I mean, think about that person that will say that on that day. This isn't a Sunday morning bench warmer. This isn't somebody that just throws around the word Christian. This is somebody that was doing stuff in the name of Jesus. Didn't we preach in your name, Lord? Didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we perform miracles in your name? Whether or not that's true, we don't know, but that's what they claim. Judas did all that. And Jesus said of Judas, did I not choose you the 12? Yet one of you is a devil. And by this he meant Judas Iscariot, the betrayer. And so he will say to those, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness, I never knew you. You claim to be a Christian, but you weren't a Christian. There's nothing, and now I'm not the judge, but here's the thing. You don't have to be in judgment of people to tell them what the judge says. And the judge makes it very clear, what does it mean to be a Christian? 1 John was written because there was a problem with incipient Gnosticism, the beginnings of Gnosticism. It was taking root in the first century. It became full blown in the second century. And people basically lived however they want because they said, hey, Gnosticism says matter is evil and only the spirit is good. So it really doesn't matter what you do in the body because the body's evil anyway. So you can be sexually immoral and just live a life of lawlessness. There's a big word for that. It's called antinomianism, because all that really matters is the spirit. Well, John writes about that. And he says, in a passage that I love, this is the message which we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him, oh, I'm a Christian, and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, if we say, the very next verse, if we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. Don Lemon is living an openly gay lifestyle, married his gay lover. He says he's a Christian. And he says homosexuality is not a sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we say that we have not sinned, 1 John 1:10, we make him a liar and his truth is not in us. Anybody who is living in open rebellion against God and his word, guess what? He's not a Christian. She's not a Christian. It's obvious they're not a Christian. John goes on to say this. By this we know, this is 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. By this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. The one who says, I have come to know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know we are in him. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. That's how you know you're a Christian. Now, when you read that, you can say, well, man, that just leaves everybody out because, you know, I keep his commandments. I mean, I struggle with his commandments. But here's the thing. It's the heart attitude. It's the desire of your heart. For every Christian, true Christian, somebody who has really repented, turned from sin, and turned to the Savior and embraced Jesus and surrendered his or her heart to him, that person has a new heart and a new desire, and we want to please the Lord. Now, the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 2, very interesting passage of Scripture about those who turn back. It says, for if after they have escaped the defilements of the world by the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and are overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. For it would be better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn away from the holy commandment handed on to them. He's not talking about Christians. He's talking about people who have heard the gospel and gotten very close, but they've turned away from it. He said it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to its own vomit, and a sow after washing returns to wallowing in the mire. A dog and a sow, a dog and a pig. Adrian Rogers preached a sermon on that years ago called Sick Dogs and Dirty Hogs. And here's the thing about that. How do you know this passage in 2 Peter is not talking about a Christian? Because the person has never been changed. God doesn't call us dogs, and he doesn't call us hogs. He calls us his sheep. My sheep, Jesus said, hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Do they do it perfectly? No, nobody lives a perfect Christian life. Only Jesus lived the perfect life. But God is not so concerned about the perfection of your life, but he's very concerned about the direction of your life. And so these people who claim to be Christians, just look at their lives. And if their lives are just covered in sin, you just know they're not believers. because you shall know them by their fruits, as Jesus said. And we can look at somebody's life to see, is that person telling the truth? Do they really know Jesus? Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. And we're talking about the issues of the day today, and we're going to talk more about ICE and how ICE is supposed to function from the border czar, Tom Holman. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
This June marks 3 years since the overturn of Roe. But did you know that since then, the number of abortions has surged to a 10-year high? Preborn Network clinics continue to support women facing unplanned pregnancies, showering them with God's love and providing free ultrasounds. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, she's twice as likely to choose life.
It was like the beginning of my healing journey. They do an ultrasound. That's when everything changed. When I saw my baby and when I heard her heartbeat, that was it.
$28 sponsors one ultrasound and $140 helps to rescue five babies. Your generous tax-deductible donation also helps to provide women who choose life with assistance for up to 2 years. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. I want to talk a little bit about ICE, the ICE agents, Immigration Customs Enforcement, and how that entity is supposed to operate. You know, we see all the clashes with protesters, agitators. I believe many of them are paid. I watched a video where a guy was saying, hey, you know, they were protesting. I think it was in L.A. They were protesting for 2 hours or 3 hours, and then they all just went home. He said it's obvious they're being paid. They're getting paid for 2 hours or 3 hours or whatever it is, and then they all quit. He said that's not an organic protest where people just all quit at the same time. He said that just stinks to high heaven. And so, you know, you got to connect some dots there. And it sure does look. And all these professional signs, you know, even Donald Trump has said, where are these people getting all these signs? They just come and there's a truck that has all this stuff and they're getting all this paraphernalia and they're getting gas masks. And as they were doing that in Minnesota, it's very, very well organized. Joe Rogan pointed that out. This is extremely well organized. And where is it happening? It's happening in Minnesota. And what do we know about Minnesota? This is coming from Joe Rogan. And he said, what do we know about Minnesota? Massive fraud. And so if you can create such a disturbance and such a level of chaos and get some people killed even, now, that's quite a statement, but I think the other side, it's useful idiots. It's people on the front line. Hey, we need them to do this, and you get them agitated enough, and then you hope that an ICE agent gets a trigger finger or just feels like his life is threatened and responds in such a way that would create this hue and cry from the nation. That's exactly what they're doing. And that's exactly what has happened. And as Joe Rogan pointed out, you don't hear people talking much about the fraud. So I had ran across a clip of why this is taking place. I think Elon Musk posted this. It's David Sacks on why the Democrats want to thwart mass deportations. As we played the clip from Barack Obama, he deported lots of people, and he said they're in the country illegally. And you say, well, try and take the moral high ground. It's not right. They're paying taxes. They're here. He said they're in the country illegally. They cut in line. They're not allowed to do that, and we're going to remove them. And nobody got upset with him about that. What has changed? Hillary Clinton was talking about deportations, and Bill Clinton talking about deportations, getting them out of here. And Bill and Barack and George Bush, they all deported a lot of people, way more than Donald Trump has done. What is the issue? This is David Sacks' take on why the Democrats want to thwart mass deportations.
The Democrats want to thwart mass deportations because illegal immigrants are a vital part of their power base. And you can see this in the 2030 apportionment forecast, which just came out. Illegal aliens count towards the census, which occurs every decade. And the census determines the apportionment of congressional seats and electoral votes. And what you see in these maps is that citizens of blue states have been migrating to red states because those blue states are failing. As a result of that, blue states are expected to lose 9 House seats and electoral votes because of the changing population numbers. Illegal aliens in blue states have been propping up those numbers. And so, for example, in the last election, President Trump would have won an additional 9 electoral votes if we had an accurate counting.
So that's the motivation behind it. Now, this is what Tom Homan, the Border Czar, said. How is ICE supposed to operate? He said, when cities and local law enforcement cooperate with ICE and they work with them, not against them, they're not sanctuary cities that say, hey, these illegals are welcome here, so we're not going to help you guys out, ICE. He said, ICE typically operates in a much more safe and efficient, low-profile manner. So here's what happens. A local jail, a prison, notify ICE when a criminal illegal alien is about to be released. ICE agents can then arrest the individual inside the controlled environment of the jail, where the person is already behind bars, he has no weapons, and poses minimal risk. This requires only one agent or a very small team to handle the arrest quietly and safely. It reduces or eliminates the need for large-scale street operations, minimizes community disruption, lowers risk to officers, the individual being arrested, and the public, and is far less resource-intensive. Just makes sense. Now, when they don't cooperate, when they say, we're going to be a sanctuary city, we're not going to cooperate with you, we're not going to tell you when an illegal alien is released from the jail, he said, then ICE is forced to shift to street-level community arrests. Agents must go into homes, neighborhoods, workplaces, or public areas to locate and apprehend the target. This requires sending larger teams for officer safety and to cover doors and perimeters, that kind of thing, often including security details due to heightened threats and rhetoric against ICE agents. It increases danger for everyone involved, including the officers, the target, bystanders, and creates more visible public disruption and escalates community tension. So if states just comply with ICE and work with ICE, you don't have any of these problems. So you ask yourself the question, well, who is causing this? Is ICE causing all these disruptions? Well, you could say, yeah, because look what they're doing. But if you back it up and say, hey, we have these laws on the books. I've said, hey, if you don't like the law, don't protest the policeman or the law enforcement officer, protest the congressman. That's the guy that created the law, and that's the guy that can change the law. The job of ICE or the job of the police is to enforce the law. The office of the president, as Barack Obama made very clear when he was president, is to enforce the law. And so, if you don't want to cooperate with that, you're the one that is messing up the machinery. You're the one that is creating these glitches. You're the one that's pushing this out into the street. And you're the one that is making this a problem in America. Now, I ran across this guy on X. His name is Josh, S-E-I-T-E-R. I guess it's Cedar. And he's an attorney. But he does these very funny videos where he just pushes the point to prove the absurdity of the left in their positions. And he has funny things where he calls himself a trans indigenous person, and but he's showing it, shows the absurdity of abortion being healthcare. He went to this one lady's door, knocked on her door, and pretended to be this guy that is collecting money for to do surgery on on dogs that are pregnant because, you know, we need to help these dogs. And she said, okay, well, tell me more about it. And he said, you know, I saw your bumper sticker. You said abortion is healthcare. And so we're collecting money to abort all these puppies because we just have too many puppies and it's just a burden on everybody. So we're going to abort these. And she goes, well, no, I don't want to give you money to abort puppies. And he said, well, don't you think abortion is health care? This is health care for these puppies. And then when she realizes that her position is illogical and absurd, she says, get off my porch. Well, he did this with a teacher at a school, and he's all dressed up like he's an LGBTQ activist. And this was his encounter with his teacher.
Ma'am?
Yeah?
Hi. Do you work here?
Yes, I do.
Are you a teacher here?
I am. I teach third grade.
Okay, I have a question. I just moved here with my daughter into the neighborhood, and I was wondering if this was a good school?
Yeah, I think it's a great school.
Okay, so my daughter, she just came out as queer to me, and I was just wondering if this would be a safe learning environment for her?
We actually have a lot of identifying non-binary and genderqueer students here, so I think she'd fit in just fine.
Okay, and I saw that you have a sign in the window. It says everyone's welcome here except ICE.
Yes.
If ICE were to come onto the premises, would you guys kick them off?
Absolutely. We believe in the safety of our students and our faculty, so we would have them leave.
Okay, isn't that how immigration works?
I'm sorry?
Isn't that how immigration works? Everyone's welcome except illegals, and if they come into the country, we kick them out?
Why are you asking me these questions?
Well, it's a simple question. You should be able to answer it. You're a teacher.
Yeah, I don't know who you are. You're filming. As
you don't need to know who I am. I'm undocumented, ma'am.
You're on school property, and technically you're trespassing.
Ma'am, no one's trespassing on illegal land, so...
Okay, well, you haven't shown me an ID. I don't know.
Oh, so now you need my papers?
Yes, you're on school.
Are you the Gestapo now? You want to see my papers?
No, but again, our property, you're trespassing. You've shown no form of ID.
Ma'am, you don't need to know who I am. I am fleeing a bad school district in search for a better one. Have a little sympathy.
Unless you can show me proper identification, I'm getting security.
So you're going to call security to take me out simply because I'm an undocumented person on your property?
Yes.
Isn't that how immigration works?
I'm asking you to move out of my way.
Like we do with illegal criminals that come into our country.
Provide me an ID of who you are.
As we do with illegals that come into our country.
Or I'm getting security to remove you from
the
property.
As we do with ICE when we remove them from our country.
I'm asking you to please move out of my way. This conversation is no longer.
Okay, bye.
So that was Josh Cedar talking to a teacher and just showing her that, hey, what you're against, we don't allow ICE to come on this property. What you're against, it makes no sense. Because when you're confronted, then you become ICE. You're saying, hey, we don't want ICE, but we're ICE. We don't let you on our school property, and you have to show us ID and blah, blah, blah. Well, it's common sense versus no sense at all, in my opinion. And that's what we have going on in America. Every day, if you go on social media, if you go on the news, every day you find examples of Isaiah 5:20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness. Now, I shared this verse last week, but it bears repeating. Proverbs chapter 28, verses 4 and 5. Those who forsake the law praise the wicked, but those who keep the law strive with them. Evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand all things. We have people today who don't want to follow the Lord. They've rejected God's word, God's will, and God's ways, Romans chapter 1. They've rejected all that. They don't want to, they want to create a God in their own image, in their own imagination, a God that can fit their sins, but they don't like the God of the Bible. They can't stand the God of the Bible. And so when you reject all that, well, then you don't understand justice. You've created a God in your own imagination. I had a conversation back and forth with a guy some months ago, And he was telling me about, you know, his Jesus does this, his Jesus does that. It's like, first of all, you don't have a Jesus. It's not my Jesus. His Jesus, her Jesus, my Jesus, your Jesus. There's just Jesus. And the Jesus of your imagination is not the true Jesus. And so the only Jesus that there is the true Jesus who exists in Scripture. I mean, he exists, but he's talked about in Scripture, and we learn about him. None of us were there when he walked the earth, but we learn about him and what people have written and the Word of God that's living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. We learn about him from his Word, and we say, okay, well, this is what he has said. And so as when we talk to people about their souls, you know, this idea, you can't judge me. Judge not, lest you be judged. Well, I'm not judging anybody. I'm just telling you what the judge has said. And the people need to hear what the judge has said. And people who reject God's word, God's will, and God's ways, they do not understand justice. They're not going to be able to lecture us on what is true justice. And so we have the social justice warriors. I like what John MacArthur said about that. He said, justice doesn't need an adjective. Social justice. What is social justice? It's just justice. And we have justice so flipped on its head that we don't understand that at all. Well, shifting gears a little bit, we did have a good thing that happened yesterday at the Grammys. I don't watch the Grammys. I don't keep up with popular music, but Jelly Roll was at the Grammys. He won, and he was there to praise Jesus. You had Billie Eilish that was there to to make her political statement, we're on indigenous land and there are no illegals or whatever she said, something like that. And the crowd erupts. Yes, that's right. But Jelly Roll gave praise to the Lord. This is what he had to say.
I know they're going to try to kick me off here, so just let me try to get this out. First of all, Jesus, I hear you and I'm listening, Lord. I am listening, Lord. Second of all, I want to thank my beautiful wife. I would have never changed my life without you. I'd have ended up dead or in jail. I'd have killed myself if it wasn't for you and Jesus. I thank you for that. I thank you for my label, Broken Bow. Country Radio, baby, what's up, dog? Oh, Republic, John McNeely, we did it, baby. There was a time in my life, y'all, that I was broken. That's why I wrote this album. I didn't think I had a chance, y'all. There was days that I thought the darkest things. I was a horrible human. There was a moment in my life that all I had was a Bible this big and a radio the same size and a 6x8 foot cell. And I believed that those two things could change my life. I believed that music had the power to change my life and God had the power to change my life. And I want to tell y'all right now, Jesus is for everybody. Jesus is not owned by one political party. Jesus is not owned by no music label. Jesus is Jesus, and anybody can have a relationship with him. I love you, Lord.
Jesus is Jesus, and anybody can have a relationship with him if they'll do two things: repent and believe. We'll be right back after the break.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. And as we always like to do in this third segment, we always like to open up the phone lines to hear from our listeners. The number to call is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, a comment, love to hear from you. We've been talking about a host of different things. What does it really mean to be a Christian? Are you a Christian just because you say you're a Christian? Are you a Christian just because you go to a church? Are you a Christian just because your name is on the roll? Are you a Christian just because you got baptized? Of course not. You're a Christian when you give your heart and life to Jesus Christ. Let me just say this, an interesting passage of Scripture that probably doesn't get preached on enough, but it says this in John chapter 2. Now, when Jesus was in Jerusalem at the Passover, during the feast, many believed in his name, observing his signs which he was doing. But Jesus, on his part, was not entrusting himself to them, for he knew all men. And because he did not need anyone to testify concerning man, for he himself knew what was in man. Isn't that interesting? It says they were believing in his name. Normally you would think, well, they're committing themselves to Christ, surrendering their lives to Christ, they're coming to know him in a real and personal way, but that's not the case. How do we know that? Because it says, John 2:24, Jesus on his part was not entrusting himself to them, for he knew all men. He knew what was inside. Jesus knows when you're serious, and he knows when you're not. He knows the difference between a casual touch and a touch of faith, as we read about that in Mark chapter 5, when the woman with the issue of blood touched him, and he said, "Who touched me?" And the disciples are like, "Well, there's a crowd all around you. People are touching you like crazy." He said, "No, somebody touched me. It was a touch of faith." The Lord knows the difference between of faith and a casual touch. He knows the difference between a prayer that is genuine and true, that surrenders to Jesus, that desires Jesus more than anything, and says, like blind Bartimaeus, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." He knows the difference between that and somebody that just mouths the words. Somebody that has like the shallow soil, where he told the parable of the sower went out to sow and some seed fell on the shallow soil. And it sprang up really quickly, but it was only temporary. And when the sun of persecution came out, it withered and died. It had no firm root. It didn't count the cost. And so Jesus entrusts him. Salvation is when you give your life to Jesus and he gives his life to you. It's the great trade, great transaction. But if you don't give yourself lock, stock, and barrel to Jesus, if you don't surrender your life to Jesus, if you don't understand you need him more than you need your next breath, and you're in trouble because you're a sinner and the wages of sin is death, until you understand that and really surrender your heart to Jesus, guess what? You don't get saved, because it is a transaction. I give myself to him and he gives himself to me. And Jesus, on his part, was not entrusting himself to them, for he knew all men. He did not need anyone to testify concerning man, for he himself knew what was in man. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And the Lord knows when your heart is genuine and sincere. He knows when you sincerely trust him, and he knows when you don't. He knows when you're just repeating words. And guess what? It shows up. The proof of the pudding is in the tasting. It always shows up with your fruit. You will know them by their fruits. How does that person live? Because when you come to know Christ in a real and personal way, your life changes. It can't help but change because you're under new management. And as I've shared many times in sermons, if there's no change, there's no Christ. There's no conversion. You've never really been saved. You're a dog that returns to his own vomit. You're a sow after washing who returns to wallowing in the mire. Your nature is still the same. You haven't become his sheep. And so, what do we know about his sheep? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Well, the phone number to call is 888-589-8840. Love to hear from you. And we have Paula on the line from Texas. Paula, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi.
Hi.
I love your show. I appreciate all you do.
Thank you.
I thank you so much. I just had an interesting observation. I don't normally watch the Academy Awards, but I had a friend who was up for one in the classical area. Mm-hmm. And he plays the piano and conducts, and so I was watching for that specifically, and I noticed a lot of comments about ICE, and I was wondering if the doors were locked. I just imagined the scenario, if the doors were locked and all of the people in there were told they had to pay for all of the money that was stolen from the people in Minnesota from, people that came into our country illegally and how they defrauded the government. You know, if they had to come up with that money, would they still be screaming? So I don't know. And would they still be yelling about, you know, get ICE out? It was just a thought in my mind, you know, if they were the ones. Because, I mean, really, it's our money they're stealing.
Right. Yeah, they don't want to tell you. I did see something where Tim Walz, not that he was just totally trying to sidestep it, but he was just like, you know, we're working on the fraud. Every state has fraud, and downplaying it some. But it's like, well, if every state has billions of dollars worth of fraud where people that are supposed to do their jobs and govern these things just let it go, when you're informed by people that work for you that this is going on and you go after the whistleblower and you continue to turn a blind eye, I mean, you're complicit to that. And, you know, I would say, okay, hey, Minnesota, you don't want us to do our job. Okay, we'll leave you to the illegal aliens. I mean, hate to say that, but you're going to make it so difficult for us that it's going to create a civil war. Well, we'll pull out, but you get no federal funding. You're on your own. And we're going to prosecute you to the nth degree on all this fraud, and we're going to run it up the chain to see, you know, who was involved in this, and we're gonna send you to jail and send you to prison. I would do that, and you know, quit kicking against the goad, so to speak, with these people that are just professional agitators, and they're well oiled, and coming up against the ICE agents, because it's just, it doesn't seem to be very effective. And you know, you're basically working against a state that is determined to work against you and get the people all riled up. So yeah, it's a good point, Paula. I appreciate that. Did your friend win?
No, I'm disappointed. But he has a lot of other accolades. He's been all over the world and conducted in all different countries. So he definitely has enough to his name that it's probably okay with him. So.
Yeah. Okay. Well, very good. Well, thanks for listening to the program. Yeah. Thanks for calling in. God bless you, Paula. Well, we have Dave on the line from Michigan. Dave, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Oh, thank you. I was listening last week, I think it was Friday, you had a caller who was talking about January 6th, the incident in D.C. A few years ago. And he was implying, I think, that something about four officers were killed or died or something, kind of as a result of that. Anyway, I did some looking and from recollection. One died a day or so later from either a heart attack or a stroke, and the other three officers died. They committed suicide, unfortunately, but you can't say that those rioters or protesters or whatever you want to call them had anything, that they murdered these police officers.
Right. Yeah, the only person that got murdered was Ashley Babbitt. She was the one that got killed, and and the officer Michael Byrd, who shot her, said, well, he felt like his life was in danger. She had no weapon on her. They found a pocket knife in her pocket, but I mean, she's not brandishing a machete or something like that. Ridiculous. And so if you say, well, he can get off because it was justified in his shooting, then you can apply that to what's happened in Minnesota. And I just, you know, I'm a black and white kind of guy, Dave, and so I just look at it and just say, you don't have any business messing with the police, with law enforcement, when they're conducting the enforcement of just laws. And if you don't like the laws, then you go after the Congress people to change the laws. But the ICE is not doing anything that has not been done. You know, Tom Homan was praised by Barack Obama just a few years ago for doing his job with ICE. And now he's the worst man on the planet because You know, when Donald Trump does what Barack Obama did, what Bill Clinton did, what George Bush did, it was fine for them to do it, but it's not fine for Donald Trump to do it. And they begin to work against ICE, and that's what creates all the problem. So I appreciate you bringing that up, Dave. Yeah, that was something that I should have corrected when it came out. You know, I heard that and I was like, that's not true. But yeah, if three of the people commit suicide and another dies of a, what'd you say, a stroke the next day?
Stroke or a heart attack, yeah, a day or two later.
Yeah, yeah, that's hardly getting killed by rioters. And you got to ask yourself the question, why would three of those guys commit suicide? You know, what is that? That seems very odd. Unless they realize they were part of something. And I don't know. I don't know why they would do that. And I don't know if they left a note behind or what. But that seems very fishy to me. All right, Dave. Well, I appreciate it. Thanks for listening to the program. Thanks for calling in. We have Norman on the line from Mississippi. Norman, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
All right. Thank you. Yeah, I just wanted to say that I think if the ICE agents would be a little bit more respectful, when they walked up to that young lady that got shot, the guy walked up to her car cursing in a very loud way. That could make anybody run away or be afraid. And Proverbs 15:1 says, harsh words stir up anger, but a kind word is just the opposite. And we know that this is a sign that it was in his heart, because after he had shot her, he cursed her. And so I just think that they need to be a little bit more respectful. I have never had an officer who stopped me on the highway or in the city walk up to me cursing like that.
Right.
I don't understand that.
Well, I think you bring up a good point, Norman. I totally agree with you. I talked to a police officer yesterday at our worship service, and he also works with ICE, and he said Jeff, here's the thing. He said ICE agents aren't that's not their normal day-to-day routine, is to be out in the street. They're making them, because the states are not complying with them and working with them, as Thomas Holman said, they normally go to the courthouse and arrest these people. There are no problems, but you're making them go out in the street. My friend told me, he said, policemen are much better at doing that because they live on the street. They're doing that all the time, and they're dealing with the public. And he said, many of the people that I arrest, and he said, some of them aggressive, they're carrying a gun. But he said, I know how to diffuse that situation because I do it all the time. And he said, ICE agents, you're putting them in a position, especially when you're aggressive with them, you're putting them in a position that they're not... that's not what they typically do. And so not to say, hey, they're poorly trained or whatever. It's just not something that they do on a day-to-day basis, where police do that, police officers. And so that's why police need to work with ICE. And when states say we're not doing that, cities say we're not doing that, we're a sanctuary city, they're the ones that create all the chaos and all the problems. And so when you just take it back up the chain, why are things happening in Minnesota? It's because Mayor Fry and Tim Walz, they're the ones that are creating this problem. And if you just work with ICE, those problems go away. Well, thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. And Norman, thanks for the call. Bill, I'm sorry we didn't get to you. But go out today, do two things. Shine for Christ, share what great things the Lord has done for you, and pray that God... I said two things, three things. Pray for God to open blind eyes to the truth.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.